Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of us through God the Father Almighty, His Son, Jesus Christ, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This was a remarkable gospel reading for today, and I'm sure all of us are familiar with it, the parable of the prodigal son. It's been preached over many generations, and somehow or other, as I've looked back on this particular chapter of Luke and to find others who have written about it, they usually focus upon the prodigal son. But today I would like for us to have a little change of pace and focus on the second part of this particular incident, the parable, and I call this the parable of the wayward son who never left home. And we look at part of that just kind of as the theme verse. His father came out, said, "Come on in to all the rejoicing. Your younger brother has come home. He was lost and he's found." What was his reaction? "But he was angry and refused to go in. And his father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill the fatted calf for him.'" You kill the fattened calf for him. As I read this narrative, one of the thoughts that came to my mind was that one of the, probably the number one Christian hymn in the world today is Amazing Grace. And perhaps you've heard me talk about that again. And that hymn was written by John Newton, who was in the slave trade. He was raised as a young boy as a Christian, but he got involved in the slave trade, and he went all over the world. And he, according to all sailors in that day, committed a lot of sins against Almighty God. And he was in a storm near at one point in his life where he suddenly was afraid that he was going to die. And he kept thinking about that, and that led to his conversion experience. And then later on, he became a pastor in the Church of England. And he wrote many hymns, but this is the one that is known worldwide. And it fits so well with this parable when he wrote, "I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." That last portion, "was blind, but now I see," made me wonder whether this younger or whether this older brother never came to see and remained blind, because this particular narrative ends right there with the father entreating the son, "Come on, go in, celebrate with us the joy that this brother of yours has come back home again." And that's where it stops. And so we look at this older brother and we say, what in the world was he? Why was he like that? And one of the things that we need to remember when we're looking at the latter part of this parable is to look at the first opening sentences that we had for the gospel reading for today. And it tells you there that this parable was told by Jesus in response to the word of the Pharisees and the scribes, who said, "What's wrong with this Jesus? He is friend of sinners and he eats with them. They thought that was a terrible thing, that Jesus, who many people looked upon as being the prophet or the Messiah to come, here he goes around and he eats and drinks with publicans, that's tax collectors, and they were considered some of the worst people in society because they robbed people to get the taxes, but they always put a little add more on to their own bill. He eats with tax collectors and sinners. How terrible. So that's the background. You can see where that fits in now. With that son who goes astray and comes back, but the older brother simply cannot accept that. I call him the wayward son who never left home. And as we look at him, we see two traits of this older son's personality which are negative. And we realize that even those of us who have been in the Father's house since our baptism and conversion can drift into each of these traits if we are not careful. So first of all, let us take note of his sulky disposition. And then secondly, we will take note of his self-righteous grudge against his father. So he comes in from the field. He's been working hard all day long in the field for his father. It's probably late in the evening. The sun is going down. And he comes home, and all of a sudden he hears the shouts of joy, the singing. There's music being played. There's dancing going on. People must have been stomping their feet that he could hear them. But he hears all of that, and he says to one of the servants, "What in the world is going on?" And the servant tells him what's going on. "Your brother has come back home. He's safe and sound in the Father's house again." But that gives him no joy. He just goes into this, what I call a sulking disposition at that time. He was angry, as you look at the text here. He talks about how many years he had served his father and how he had never, never disobeyed him at any time. And he did everything that the father commanded. He was an upright son of the father. "But you never gave me any thanks. You never gave me a fattened calf." Now, in those days, most of the people, most of the time, were vegetarians. And only once in a while would they have meat to eat. And that especially when they had festivals of joy and so on. So that fattened calf meant a lot. And the joy was there because the son had come back who had wasted all part of his life in this riotous living that you read about there. He came back. And, you know, all of us identify with that. I think not all of us can think of ourselves in terms of being the prodigal, because perhaps all of our lifetime, most of us have been in the Father's house. We've been going to church ever since we were baptized and confirmed or whatever, or since our conversion to Christ. We've been in God's house, worshiping Him, and trying to live our lives according to the commandments of God, out of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and so on. But also we can somewhat identify with this older son here and all the way that he feels. We are taught to be joyful that sinners repent and come to the Lord. And all of us here, I'm sure, are that way. We feel very joyful. But once in a while, remember who he's speaking to, the Pharisees. And they are very self-righteous. And so the warning here is we have to be careful that we do not drift into a time of self-righteousness where we think that we are better than other people, that we are better than the riffraff we may see out in our communities. We are better than all of these people who are hanging out in tents because they have nowhere else to go and so on. We are so much better off. But that's not so, because we know that every day we still remain sinners even though we've been converted to Christ. And we know that every day that the Son of God came into this world to go through all of that suffering and his death on the cross to pay for our sins so that we might have that salvation which is mentioned to us in the epistle reading for this day. So that repentance of the prodigal should have brought him joy, but it didn't. It showed his selfishness, his self-centeredness, his self-righteousness that he had here. And sometimes even among Christians, we find that kind of attitude that is displayed here by the older son in this parable. What about mercy? What about kindness? What about love of your brother? And so on. Where was that? It was totally ending here. It's a pathetic story. His father is still pleading with him to change his attitude. And he calls him son. But notice in the earlier part of that, he says to his father, "This son of yours." And that was a rejecting statement. "This son of yours. He did all of that wasted living and so on. But look at me. Look at me, and you never recognize me like you're recognizing him now." So he was arguing with the father, and he was showing also that he did not love his father. And so what would these scribes and Pharisees think of that if they would apply it to themselves, who went about doing all the right things? Remember the parable that Jesus told elsewhere, when two men went up to pray? One was a publican, the tax collector, who was a sinner, and the other was a Pharisee. And the Pharisees standing there praying to God in the temple, "Thank you, God, that I'm not like other men, even as this publican, a sinner, unrighteous person. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like that." And all the publican could do, according to what Jesus says here, is stand there and beat upon his breast and say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And that's where we stand with that, the fact that we were once lost because of our sin, but we were found at some point in our life. Our Lord Jesus Christ touched us. It was either in our baptism as a child, maybe later on in life when you really came to know what Jesus was all about and you believed in him with all your heart and you became a person in the Father's house, and here you are today in the Father's house, and God will keep you in the Father's house as we stay under his word and we receive the blessed sacrament to our good. So I say again, most of us here this morning may not put ourselves in the category of the prodigal. Yet in a sense we are, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And some of us may have once been like the prodigal son. I don't know all of the history of all of you. You might have been someone who drifted. You once were in the church. You were raised by Christian parents, but somehow along the line, you drifted, and that happens a lot these days, it seems to me. I have parents coming to me, and they're worried about their wayward son or daughter who once were very faithful in the church and worshiping the Lord, full of faith, but they've drifted. And this shows also that we need to continue to love them, to pray for them, and to do all that we can do to urge them to come back to the Father's house, for they too need it. They need God's forgiveness, and they need that salvation, that eternal life is promised through Jesus Christ. So we would hope that this story would move us to find joy of our salvation in Jesus as our Savior, to thank God we're in his house, and to help us to keep from any of this self-righteousness that is shown here, to show more love to all people, and do all we can to lead those into the Father's house who are yet far in that far country of sin and unbelief. May God move us wherever we feel we are this day, whether that prodigal or whether the older brother, because we are both, really. And God's love is there always pleading for us, and he will never turn away from any one of us. When you turn to him in true repentance, he receives you, he loves you, and constantly will be pouring out that love upon you. May that love be a sure and certain thing in the hearts of every one of us, and let us always find rejoicing in the fact of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we ask it. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.